she let me be. But her destiny's got us intertwined. And is it really my fault? I get a shiver when I see her with those other guys. Wearing the jacket I bought. I can't help but lose my temper and I don't know why. I get jealous, but I'm too cool to admit it. When the fellas talk to my girl, I ain't with it. I get jealous, but I'm too cool to admit it. When the fellas talk to my girl, I ain't with it. Why can't she give some sort of sign? But you know, and I know, a thing or two about loyalty. Ooh, but that girl don't pay no mind. So is it really my fault? I get a shiver when I see her with those other guys. Wearing the jacket I bought. Ooh, I can't help but lose my temper and I don't know why. I get jealous, but I'm too cool to admit. My girl, I ain't with it. I get jealous, but I'm too cool to admit it. When the fellas talk to my girl, I ain't with it. 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 I wish she'd care to see, but she only cares when she's so inclined. And I fret so much about her loving. I wish she'd let me be, but her destiny's got us so intertwined. Back in 2011, I decided to not let this play with my mind. But when them boys from out of town, they come back around. I feel like I'm committing a crime. My girl, I ain't with it. I get jealous, but I'm too cool to admit it. When the fellas talk to my girl, I ain't with it. I get jealous, but I'm too cool to admit it. When the fellas talk to my girl, I ain't with it. I get jealous, but I'm too cool to admit it. When the fellas talk to my girl, I ain't.
And are we back?
Yes, we are.
Awesome. How much time do we have left, Eric? Like five
minutes.
That's great, because I wanted to launch into one more thing before we go. Here at the Syrup Trap, we're always looking for things to celebrate, for, you know, uplifting moments. And lately I was thinking, do you know what we need to celebrate? We need to celebrate Paul's body.
Yeah.
Top 10 ways to celebrate Paul's body. What are ways we can celebrate Paul's body?
I like to give his belly a little rub.
Just a little.
Just kind of give it a little. Give it a little.
Just a little kiss. A little kiss on the
nice,
in the center of the belly.
Yeah, just a nice.
Like on the belly button or on the.
You know, just on the top, where it curves over.
Just at little, the very
nice
top of the
gentle
the
rub
pubis.
And a little, you're all right.
Just a little gentle kiss on the belly. What a great way to celebrate Paul's body. Alex, how would you celebrate Paul's body?
Well, whenever I'm feeling down, I like to just, you know, relax a little bit, appear on the cover of Men's Health, you know, just really, really celebrate my own body. Say, hey, America, here are my abs. They are great. Here are 301 diet tips for the holidays.
Paul, how would you celebrate your body?
Well, my mom always taught me this rhyme when I was a kid, right? And it's like, you know, ears, eyes, nipples, and back, right? Toes,
ears,
knees,
eyes,
thighs, and crack. Okay, say it with me.
Ears, eyes, nickels, and back. Toes, knees, thighs, and crack.
Right? And that's how you celebrate your body, right? So that's what we've always done in my family. And, you know, and now that the holidays are coming up, I figure it's a spooky tradition that I want to pass on to my kids.
It's a great way to celebrate around the campfire. Mm-hmm. Just celebrating bodies around the campfire. Eric, are you down with that? Do you want to go celebrate Paul's body around a campfire?
I would like to do that.
What we should do is we should all take parts of Paul's body around a campfire.
Mm-hmm.
And
pray to it.
Yeah, just pay tribute to just Paul's body. What a beautiful body he has.
Each part of the body.
Each part of it. Spread it all about in a ring.
And that's how we celebrate Paul's body.
Yeah. That's the most efficient way, yeah.
I think so.
And you can sing a little song, right? While you're doing it?
Ears, eyes, nose, and crack. Body, Romeo, front and back.
Right. Right. Ears, eyes, nipples, and crack.
Years.
I think that's all the time we have.
Yeah. So
so if people, I guess we should just do this. If people want to visit our website, they can go to syruptrap.ca. They can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/syruptrap. No spaces or underscores or question marks.
And we'll accept any ideas you've got to celebrate my body. You can send it right to @syruptrap.
If you'd like to write for us, send us.
If you have an idea for an article, we encourage you to write it down on a piece of paper and keep it to your damn self. Maybe give it to your mom. I don't know.
No, that's mean. If you have an idea, email it to us at write@syruptrap.ca. And on that note, we're going to give you our last song, also dedicated to Johnny Wakefield.
By the Syrup Trap's contentious favorite artist.
No, I think he's clearly our favorite artist.
That's Snowflake.
Well, thank you guys for coming in.
Hi, everyone. Thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to this.
We're going to listen to
waste
Drake
of time of a discussion.
0 to 100.
Hi, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Hi.
Being on some chill shit, we go 0 to 100, nigga, real quick. They be on that rap to pay the bill shit, and I don't feel that shit, not even a little bit. Oh Lord, know yourself, know your worth, nigga. My actions being louder than my words, nigga. How you sold, I've been still sold down to earth, nigga. Niggas won't do it, we can do it on their turf, nigga. Oh Lord, I'm the rookie and the vet. Shout out to the bitches I ain't holding down the set. All up in my phone looking at pictures from the other night. She gon' be upset if she keep scrolling to the left, dog. She gon' see some shit that she don't wanna see. She ain't ready for it. If I ain't the greatest, then I'm headed for it. Yeah, that mean I'm way up. Yeah, the six ain't friendly, but that's where I lay up. This shit a motherfucking layup. I been Steph Curry with the shot. Been cooking with the sauce. Chef Curry with the pot, boy. 360 with the wrist, boy. Hey, who the fuck them niggas is, boy? OVO, man, we really with the shits, boy. Yeah, really with the shits. I should probably sign a hit, boy, cause I got all the hits, boy. Fuck all that Drake, you gotta chill shit. I be on my little mouse drill shit. Fuck all that rap to pay your bill shit. Yeah, I'm on some rappers pay my bill shit. All up on TV, I thought it made me richer. Wasn't paying me enough, I needed something quicker. So now I'm all in Nico basement, putting working on the phones. Either that or drive the money mark to make the pickups. Man, it's 2008, I'm trying to paint the picture. Comeback season in the works and now I'm thinking bigger. I got 40 in the studio, every night, late night. Gotta watch that shit, don't wanna make them sicker. That's my nigga, oh Lord. Got a whole lot to show for it. I mean, we could really get it, we could go for it. I'm just here for the bucks and the billies, nigga. Don't make me kill one of the ghosts for it. I run this shit, they like, go for us. Run for us, run for us, go for us. Yeah, I mean, y'all already wrote for us. Damn, nigga, what's one more quote for us? Oh, Lord, who else sounded like this? They ain't made me what I am, they just found me like this. I was ready, fuck that, I been ready. Since my dad used to tell me he would come into the house to get me. He ain't show valuable lesson, man, I had to grow up. That's why I never ask for help. I do it for you niggas and do it for myself. I go 0 to 100, nigga, real quick. Real quick, whole squad on that real shit. 0 to 100, nigga, real quick. Real quick, real fucking quick, nigga. 0 to 100, nigga, real quick. Real quick,
Whole squad on that real shit. 0 to 100, nigga, real quick. Real quick. Real fucking quick, nigga.
Whole squad on that real shit. Whole squad on that real shit.
Whole squad on that real shit. Yeah. The other night, Lavish Lee told me that I'm all these people listen to. She said they love me unconditional. Imagine how I feel to watch another nigga at the top. You know that if you wasn't you, you would be dissing you, dog. Damn. Okay, from that perspective, I see what you're talking about. No way to soften that. Cause me, I was trying to find out where I lost them at. But maybe I ain't lose them at all. Maybe I keep moving forward and they're just stagnant. They ain't moving at all. But when they need a favor, who do they call? Maybe I'm searching for the problems, asking what was said and who was involved. Too focused on people's feedback and proving them wrong. They say the shoe can always fit no matter who for the zone. These days feel like I'm squeezing in them. Whoever won before just wasn't thinking big enough. I'm about to leave them with them. Cause if I run the game in these, man, the seams are splitting. No pun intended, but they smelling defeat in the air. Headed where nobody took it, who meeting me there? They tell him that he talking crazy, but he doesn't care. Being humble don't work as well as being aware. Listen up, boy, you better off eavesdropping. We already got spring 2015 popping. P&D dropping, reps up P dropping. Magic Jordan dropping, OB dropping, not to mention me dropping. Feel like we paid the refs off, man, we fixed the game. Me and Noel been at it before Twitter names. Yeah, been on the move like the lease is up. And I can't even name one person that's keeping up. Damn, fuck how I was in the past tense. Ask yourself, how do we match up now? Cause I'm only 27 and I'm only getting better. If I haven't passed you yet, watch me catch up now, for real.
Could it be the way I will catch up? Could it be the way I will catch up?
All right, hello. This is 24 Hours of Student Power. We are having some technical difficulties with getting someone to call in from the Political Science Student Association. So while we deal with that issue, we are going to listen to a song that I was going to leave for the end, but let's just play it now. It's a song called Political Science by Randy Newman off his album Sail Away. And it's related because we're going to talk to the Political Science Students Association. So, enjoy.
No one likes us. I don't know why. We may not be perfect, but heaven knows we try. But all around, even our old friends put us down. Let's drop the big one. See what happened. We give them money, but are they grateful? No, they're spiteful and they're hateful. They don't respect us, so let's surprise them. We'll drop the big one and pulverize them. Asia's crowded, Europe's too old, Africa's far too hot, and Canada's too cold. South America's story.
just drop the big one. There'll be no one left to blame us. We'll save Australia. Don't wanna hurt no kangaroo. We're building all American amusement park there. They got surfing too. Boom goes London, boom Paris. More room for you and more room for me. In every city, the whole world round, will just be another American town. Oh, how peaceful it will be. We'll set everybody free. You wear a Japanese kimono, baby, to be Italian shoes to me. They all hate us anyhow. So let's drop the big one now. Let's drop the big one now.
Okay. We are back with the student special hour with Parmita from the Political Science Students Association and multiple other clubs. How's it going?
It's going okay. How are you?
I'm good. I don't know. We're talking on speakerphone on a really poor phone. So if you could yell, like speak very loudly, that'd be helpful. Yeah, this is helpful. All right, well, it's okay. Thank you for calling in and staying up past your bedtime and dealing with all the technical difficulties that we've had. How's it going? Well, that's what we're here for, you know, keeping things real. So what is the PSSA?
The PSSA is the Political Science Students Association, so we're one of the few AMS clubs that actually works kind of under the umbrella of the
Okay. So what kind of stuff do you guys do? Like what? What movies?
I'm actually sitting here trying to pick one. We're partnering with Cinema Politica.
Oh, cool.
You know, I thought that'd be a great idea because they have a lot of movies. I didn't really think through how many movies they had, and they have too many options, so.
Well, hopefully we can find a movie for you.
It's too much pressure for me. I'm indecisive.
Okay. And you're also in the Journal of Political Studies?
I am, yes.
Do you want to talk about that, please?
Of course, yeah. The Journal is really awesome. It's been running for 17 years. Here we have the coolest person running it. She's really active on campus, too, and that's also something that works closely with the political science department, but it also caters to a lot of other disciplines, and it's just kind of cool to have something that students run.
Will you be applying to the Journal of Political Studies?
I'll think about it. Will you be applying?
I don't think so. I think I'm going to apply to the Journal of International Affairs.
Oh, ouch.
Well, I applied. I was published last year for the JPS, so I'm kind of over it now. You know?
Okay.
I'm kidding. I'm an editor for them, so I'm above that shit. Anyway, you're also with, like, Free the Children?
Yeah, so Free the Children is kind of entirely different. They work under the branch of, you know, the International Free the Children. And they just had an event called UBC's Goat Talent, which isn't a typo. It was actually raising money to buy votes for Nicaragua.
Buy votes for Nicaragua?
Goats.
Buy goats? I'm sorry, that's almost as weird. So you guys were raising money to buy goats for Nicaraguans? Are UBC, were UBC students capable of buying 5 goats for Nicaraguans?
And, I think goats are really expensive, because I think it was like $100 a goat.
I mean, like a chihuahua is more than $100, and it can't do as much as a goat. I think that's like a fair price for a goat.
No, see, my grandmother bought me a goat 1 year. And,
your grandmother got you a goat 1 year? That's amazing.
But I mean, you know, the point isn't that my grandmother's weird. That's kind of like another story. But goats don't really do all that much.
I mean, they give milk. You make cheese from it. They,
Actually, now that I think about it, maybe that's why I was kind of anxious.
Okay. Well.
Yeah.
Cool. So Free the Children, in short, is working at UBC to try and help, you know, people in need, children in need?
Youth in need, specifically. The kind of premise is youth empowering youth.
Youth empowering youth. That's wonderful. That's really cool. All right. I think that's all we've got for now. Thank you very much for calling in. It's been really good. I really wish we had functioning... like phone thing that would work, but you know, the commies are killing us. So, goddamn left wing university, hiking the tuition. Anyway, thank you so much. Have a wonderful exam period, and Yeah, thank you for calling in. Maybe one day we'll do a proper show about this.
Alrighty, take care.
You too. Bye. Alright, that was... Oh, that was very loud. That was Parmita from the PSSA, the Free the Children... That's it. And the Journal of Political Science. We're going to listen to an ad... And then we have some real live in-person members of the Philosophy Students Association. So when we're done with that advertisement, we are going to chat with them. So thank you for staying with us. I know it hasn't always been easy. So here we go. 1 second. Almost there. There we go. All right.
Down my vegetables, I love you most of all, my favorite vegetable.
Sprouts. It's your 75-cent coffee fix in the sub. It's your source for reasonably priced, creatively named stew and vegan brownies. It's your purveyor of bicycle-delivered local produce. It's also a place where volunteers can realize their vision of responsible business and where like-minded students can explore UBC's food systems. Hark! Sprouts is currently accepting applications for next year's executive board and is encouraging ambitious, creative, and disciplined students from all faculties and year levels to apply. Come by Sprouts in the sub-basement to learn more about our projects and how to get involved.
I tried to kick the ball, but my tinny flew right off. I'm red as a beet, 'cause I'm so embarrassed.
Are you a current UBC grad student? If so, then listen up, because the Graduate Student Society lets UBC grads book rooms and spaces in the newly renovated grad student building. Be sure to take advantage of what the facility has to offer. The rooms come equipped with sound systems and can host up to 300 people. Even better, as grad students, you don't have to pay booking fees. Not a grad? Don't worry. The Tia Corner House is open to the public, as in the Kerner Pub, opening earlier next year. For more information, contact booking manager Rob at bookings@gss.ubc.ca.
All right. Sorry. We're back. I'm Eric. This is the Student Special Hour, and I am joined by a few people. Come on up and introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Quincy, member of the PSA, along with
Blake Harstad, also member of the PSA, and
together we are
co-editor-in-chief of Hemlock Journal, along with being chief executive officer of the general overlays of the corporation.
Absolutely, yeah. We've got fingers in all sorts of pies. Also joined by...
Hi, I'm Joey. I'm not in the PSA, but I'm hanging out.
Cool. So, what is the PSA?
We are the Philosophy Students Association, and we're bringing philosophy to the masters on campus.
Yeah, what we do is we try to bring together all the philosophy students, you know, first year, second year, third year, fourth year.
Fifth year.
We're all encompassing. We're very egalitarian when it comes to this sort
Absolutely.
Of thing. And we actually had a very successful event last week, mm-hmm. and we're continue hosting events throughout next semester.
What was the successful event?
It was a colloquium on women in philosophy, asking the question, why are women underrepresented in philosophy? And we had a number of philosophy professors from the department speaking. And it was...
Yeah, we had four philosophy professors speaking. We had a few hundred turnout. It was big.
That's great.
Yeah.
And were you able to answer the question of why women are underrepresented in philosophy?
Okay, we're philosophers. We don't
We don't answer questions.
We ask them.
Yeah. And just create more. It's
a self-generating, propagating.
That's how you guys have been around for 2,000
exactly,
years.
Exactly,
don't remind me.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Do you guys know of any things, events, sort of things that you'll be having next term?
Well, we're kind of hibernating over the Christmas break, I believe, but we will have, I guess, events next term that match the caliber of events we've had this term. Mm-hmm.
We'll be having a release party for the journal.
Absolutely,
once we
release
the physical version in April, I believe that will be.
So, What kind of submissions is the journal looking for in case anyone listening wants to submit?
Well, the general theme that we are going through this semester is really to break out of rhetoric and into the general dialectical landscape of philosophy as a whole. Would you say so, Quincy?
Yeah, we're trying to capture something other than pure analytics. We're trying to excise ourselves from that kind of purely academic way of thinking and just... into a more open philosophical way of thinking. We've put together a nice little issue which will be released soon for this term, and then next term our volume will become complete with our second issue, at which point our release party will happen. And yeah, next term we'll open submissions around halfway through the term, and just anything philosophical, send it in, and we'd be more than happy to read it.
hemlock.journal@gmail.com.
Hemlock.journal@gmail.com.
That's correct.
Sweet. How long has the journal been around?
Not very long, actually. It was defunct for a number of years, and it was only resurrected back in September 2013 by Travis Lacroix and Nir Avgay. And we are continuing.
Absolutely, yeah.
Wonderful. Good for you guys. I guess we can move into broader philosophical discussions after this, but Blake brought some vinyl.
That's true.
What did you bring us?
I brought a number of selections for us today, but up
from the
first,
home library?
From the home library.
Nice.
From the archives. Up first, we have a German band from the 1970s called Can, on the album Egem by Miyasi. The song is called Vitamin C, and it's about the importance of maintaining balance in your life.
Well,
it's all about balance.
That is as good as an introduction as one could hope for. So let's listen to the German band Can. We'll be right back.
All right. We are back with PSA, the Philosophy Student Association. Quincy and Blake are here in the studio.
And our good pal Joey's here as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
Looking like a true philosopher.
You know.
Joey's been...
No one knows what you look like, so, you know, everyone...
I have a good face for radio.
He's got
problems. So here's a philosophical question for you guys.
Okay, shoot.
Would you rather marry an alien or a vegetable man?
What is a vegetable man?
Right. When I first heard this question, I was like, is that a guy in a coma? Yeah. Is that like a guy that's like made of vegetables? And the answer is that it's like a, yeah, like vegetables. Like I think, and
a
it's
person made out of vegetable. A vegetable man?
It was like a vegetable, but like a man, like a carrot, like a life-size carrot or like a piece of broccoli or something. I didn't make this up. This is...
Is it?
Okay, well, if it's the alien from the movie Alien and it's a xenomorph, then Vegetable Man. But if it's like an alien from 2001, then I'm definitely going with the alien from 2001.
Or like William Shatner, sexy green lady alien. I'm all into that.
Oh, yeah. Does the alien from 2001, is it just basically an alien that looks just like yourself? Is that what you're getting at?
No, it's like the black megalith.
Oh, the megalith. Is the megalith the alien in that film?
Great changes in humans.
Okay. Society. I would marry the megalith as well. Yeah, I'm big into the megalith. I probably wouldn't marry a vegetable man. I tend to steer away from vegetables. I think it's a conspiracy.
All right. Eric's back.
Yo. Should I answer the question?
Yeah.
Oh, definitely alien.
Why definitely alien?
Well, I like the possibilities of the alien above the possibilities of the vegetable man. Like, with the vegetable man, you know what you're going into. It's a vegetable.
Do you
know? I assume so. It's like, I want to marry a beet, like man-sized beet. It's like, okay, cool. That's what's happening. But if I'm going out in the great unknown, I mean, that's...
Anything could happen.
The possibilities are endless. I originally chose Vegetable Man because he's more down to earth.
Oh!
Were you just setting up that punchline?
I've made that joke before because we have posed this question to a lot of people. So, yes, I will admit that I've made that joke before, but, you know, it's worth repeating. And I still stand by my answer.
Which vegetable, though?
I always picture a carrot.
A carrot? Reason, okay.
Yeah. See, a carrot is an interesting choice. I was picturing a zucchini. Because I like the hard exterior with kind of a soft and gushy inside.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
That's how I like most of my lovers.
Exactly.
But I feel like a carrot is more anthropomorphic.
Yeah. So.
I mean, I don't want to be the be the one to say it, but it's also very phallic.
As a zucchini,
yeah.
Yeah, no, that's true. But I mean, the zucchini's a little softer.
On the inside, though, it's a metaphor.
I'm glad we're touching all the big philosophical hard-hitting questions. Yeah.
So, what's Kant's categorical imperative? Categorical imperative.
Okay, I guess I can try feel this one briefly. Kant's categorical imperative is the notion that there is an idealized morality to things. Like, the idea of drawing a perfect circle is impossible to attain for humans, as is the idea of attaining a perfect morality. And it's just the notion of this kind of morality which is not obligatory, but kind of idealized.
Obligatory for all rational beings.
Yeah.
Which are humans. And the most famous formulation of this... categorical imperative is that you should act so that your actions can become universal law.
Yeah, you're kind of analyzing each action as in, like, is it applicable as a universal maxim?
So, like, if you ask me a question and I lie to you back, then I should will so that everyone should lie all the time. But what that would do is
would it only be when they lie to that question?
No, it would be all the time.
Yeah, it's tricky to figure out these kind of like thresholds of where you can apply the maxim, because maxims can be very much like expanded upon. So it's a maxim of lying about what cheese I like best, or it's a maxim of lying, which is much more broad and it's much harder to kind of universalize. Mm-hmm. So it's tricky. I don't know. It's a handy little system to confront, but it's probably not applicable because it rules out too many things which are too human, I think.
I agree.
So we've basically come to the conclusion that Kant's sort of fucked it. That being said, do you like who do you guys like? What are some philosophers that you are all into? I mean, yeah, let's do the favorite game.
The favorite game?
Yeah.
How about we have Joey go first?
Yeah.
Man, on the spot.
You're not even in the club.
I'm not even in the club. I don't even know philosophy.
No, but Joey's been affiliated with us for a number of years.
Yeah, in passing. I don't know.
Time-buying question.
I guess Deleuze. I like. No, I like.
Do you like Deleuze or do you like saying Deleuze?
I like saying Deleuze mostly. I also like saying Heidegger because of all the vowels.
Yeah, hard vowels.
I don't know. Buddha Sakyamuni. Anyone?
No, he's
anyone of us. All right, Quincy.
You know, I don't like to play favorites because I think it's too picky. I like all philosophers. They're all doing something valuable. They're all engaging in philosophy.
Even Ayn Rand?
Well, I mean, technically she's not a philosopher, so.
I have a question. Is Agamben a philosopher?
Agamben?
Agamben?
Yeah.
Who?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Agamben. He's Italian continental philosopher.
Eleanor, how's it going? It's good. Does anybody want food from John in the village? Yeah. We can actually. This is the last club we're talking to, part of 24 hours, and so we're gonna keep it serious until they're. Then we can talk about. We have plenty of time to talk about what kind of food we want to eat until 6 a.m. No, because John's in the village right now. Okay. Well, let's play a song. Is there another song that we have lined up?
In a sec,
yeah. Let's play a song. Eric, what do you know about Agamben?
Yeah, not much. I know that I'm supposed to read something of his for my thesis.
What field of philosophy is he about?
Well, he has a book called Homo Soccer? Homo Sauce?
Yeah, well, let's soccer? Let's Google.
Like, he's a sport philosopher?
We have the internet at our disposal. No, SACER. It's Italian, I think. It's about spaces of exception, so it's related to concentration camps in the Holocaust and Guantanamo Bay in the United States has been applied to that, as well as to the treatment of Aboriginal people in Canada, actually, as of late and in the last 20 years.
Do you know that Hitler looked at the reservation system in Canada as, influence on the
population? I did know that, actually. Camps? That is terrifying.
It's terrifying.
That is scary. I did not know that.
So yeah. Well.
I didn't know that.
Go Canada.
Yeah, so Wikipedia, in addition to what Eleanor said, says that Giorgio Agamben, born 22nd of April 1942, is an Italian continental philosopher best known for his work investigating the concepts of the state of exception, which was brought up, form of life, and homo sacer. 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 S-A-C-E-R. The concept of biopolitics, borrowed from Michel Foucault, informs many of his writings. Thank you, Wikipedia.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you, Wikipedia. All right, so Blake, what do we have queued up?
Up next, we have a band called Titus Andronicus from Jersey in the States. And the song is called My Time Outside the Womb.
Ooh, womb.
Outside the womb?
How do you spell womb?
Womb.
Womb.
Womb? Oh, you're just
pronouncing
okay.
I thought it was like
womb. I mean,
did you just call it this?
And what this song relates to philosophically, I think, is Heidegger being towards death and being towards life. And all that great German stuff.
Yeah, that German ambiguity.
All right, here we go.
Nothing grieves me heartily indeed, but that I cannot do 10,000 more. Now you're in your mother's arms, wrinkled and wet. You gotta spend the rest.
All right, we are back with the Philosophy Students Association, Quincy, Joey, and Blake. We just listened to Titus Andronicus, which comes from the... Aren't they... They're titled after, like, the Shakespeare play or...
Yeah, the Shakespeare play.
Yeah. Do you know what that play's about?
I really have no idea.
Yeah, me neither.
I think it has something to do with...
But it's like minor Shakespeare.
It's I think it's his first play that he wrote.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, there you go. There you have it. Titus Andronicus from Joyzy, referencing Shakespeare. Now we're going to keep on talking about the love of knowledge. Get it?
Love of wisdom, love of knowledge. Yeah, I'm into it.
Philosophy. Yeah, do you guys have anything you want to bring up? Why do you like philosophy? How did that come about?
Well, I mean, first of all, when someone asks you a question in philosophy, you can answer with a question, mm-hmm. which is probably my favorite thing to do because
it's like a get out of jail free card. It's like playing Monopoly and getting a get out of jail free card.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's just...
Is that your answer? In philosophy, we can just go off on the tangent and people will forget about what the question was.
Yeah, I see. I mean, like, that's what nobody says.
Otherwise, okay, otherwise, everybody kind of, like, reflexively thinks about their life. And thinks about, like, when you're a kid, you're constantly confronted with this question of the meaning of life, right?
Right.
I feel like I was confronted with that all
were
the
you,
time.
Were you like the little young Alvy singer in Annie Hall who's like struggling with the fact that the universe is going to...
A bit, I guess. I don't know. It was like the English version of that. But yeah, I didn't have red hair. But yeah, pretty much. Yeah. But yeah, everybody has this reflexive kind of like, what? Like, what am I doing here? And then philosophy is just kind of confronting that in all these different aspects. Like, why do I know? Why do I think? Why do I exist? Like, why science? Why everything? Yeah.
Who is Quincy?
Exactly.
Who is Eric?
And, like, essentially...
Who are we?
Essentially, all of the different departments at universities, they all used to come under philosophy. Philosophy is just the love of wisdom. And nowadays, philosophy just constitutes that kind of central love of wisdom. Loving wisdom for itself. Addressing knowledge. Addressing things like that. And I think it's valuable. And I enjoy it a lot. And it's something that brings me a lot of pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a metadisciplinary discipline.
And, I mean, it's really, like, the foundational discipline. I mean,
absolutely. It opens your mind to so much other
like
things.
Like, Plato had the Academy, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then Aristotle had...
Aristotle inherited it, and then
But he made a different one, didn't he? Like,
him and Plato disagreed on some core...
Yeah.
Yeah, they had some core disagreements.
Yeah.
But who do you prefer? Who comes out on top, Plato or Aristotle? It's just tricky.
I mean,
one. It's
for
a
me,
one. I've thrown a curveball.
It's tough, but I would have to say overall Plato, and I'm gonna give a weak reason why, but it's his writing style.
Okay.
I don't like reading. There are times when Plato is unbearable as well because it's just like he goes on and on and on about nothing. But I have a sort of unfounded issue with him, and so then I tend to focus on things like his like defense of slavery and subjugation of women, whereas I will ignore Plato's. Perhaps other contentious claims, although he was much more progressive in regards to gender relations.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Plato because he's...
But I mean, like, fuck the forms, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was going to say.
Forms? Whoa.
Because the forms are really misleading and kind of sinful.
Misleading in the 21st century, but what he was doing back then, that was foundational, and we still use that shit.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
what he was
Platonic
doing back then.
Realm, that's referred to constantly, no?
But nowadays you have people referring to the good and to wisdom and to,
okay,
and to beauty. Like, it's something actually out there that you can find.
Okay.
But you can't. I mean, I've looked. not there.
What about you, Joey? Who do you prefer?
I really haven't read enough of either of them. I've, like, honestly, I don't know if I've read any of Aristotle at all. I've read some Plato.
and I agree with aspects of it, but I'm honestly no expert. So I feel like my opinion would simply be uninformed.
Okay.
I don't want to put that out there. Well, so I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I have a question for you guys, because it's something that bothers me, and I guess it might be somewhat philosophical, you know, philosophy related.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever feel the pressure of the weight of, like, human history on your shoulders? As in, like, when I want to read a book, you know, let's say I want to read some philosophy. Let's say I want to read Agamben. He's new. I have difficulty going and going, like, okay, let's read Agamben. Let's justify this if I've never read Heidegger, for example, who I haven't read. And it's just like, and the fact now that I have to read, like, when Heidegger existed, you know, he only had to read everything before his birth, you know? Now we have a fucking century on top of that we have to read, plus everything else that they've read. We've got to go back 2,000 years to be, like, qualified. Doesn't that just gives me, like, intense anxiety?
It's getting much trickier, like, I guess. I don't know how to kind of, like, historical philosophy in the vein of, like...
Yeah, the history of philosophy.
The history of philosophy, but also, like, historical, like, views, like Hegel.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, Heidegger.
Historicism.
Historicism, yeah. That's a pretty relatively recent kind of, like, attribute of philosophy. Before that, it was just kind of, like, wealthy men ruminating on just being, kind of.
Yeah.
And I mean, nowadays, there's so much more, like, okay, we have Wikipedia. And we can look at things, and then all these kind of, like, bibliographies, which we can, like, okay, I gotta read that, and it just gets so much. And I think a very, very valuable way of approaching philosophy is just, I don't know, taking key ideas from places, even Wikipedia, coming up with a key idea and just turning it over in your head.
I don't think you'd really have to feel the entire weight on your shoulders, because really,
too much.
If you were, because it's too much, but really, if you were to read, you know, a good amount of Plato, get an idea of that. That itself is enough for just about any philosopher for the next 2,000 years to have a good idea of what they're saying.
Really?
Yeah, I think so.
Like, the amount of...
So, like, when would you...
academic discourse on Plato, which is still coming out even, is incredible.
Yeah, no, I get that, but, I mean, it's true. I like Western philosophy in particular, sort of, you know, like, quieted down post the Greeks and Romans, right? Like post Seneca and Cicero and all that.
Yeah, as Christianity moved in.
Yeah.
But with analytic philosophy and, I guess, Western philosophy, there's a lot less space for kind of interpretation. Like, compared to Plato, at least, like, Plato's dialogues, there was, like, it felt more artistic.
Yeah, in
you can
the,
yeah, yeah, that's more. Why I like him.
Exactly, yeah. It's so much more kind of, like, fluid. Mm-hmm. And nowadays, you get these kind of... Everywhere nowadays, you get these kind of very cited pieces, very analytic, very kind of academic. And what is said so bluntly, and it's said... It's right there.
Right.
And there's not much room for kind of applying your own interpretation to things.
Yeah, I think that goes back to the early 20th century when people like Bertrand Russell and Whitehead and Eyre were really trying to reduce everything down to just logical propositions.
Yeah.
So there wasn't really room for interpretation because, I mean, you don't really interpret logic. It's kind of true. Or
they were making a scaffolding for things.
Mm-hmm.
And since then, it's been very much like things have been scaffolded.
Exactly, yeah. Whereas Heidegger and Nietzsche and Sartre, you're going to get a lot of interpretation, which is why people might enjoy reading that more, especially people who aren't academically trained in philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a question about, I guess, the notion of academic training in philosophy that me coming from, I mean, I definitely have more academic training in philosophy than some people, but not nearly as much as you guys. And I tried to read some Wittgenstein this summer out of pure interest because I thought, from what I've read on Wikipedia and whatever, that it was kind of interesting to me. And I found it almost impossible. I found it incredibly dense. And almost, I thought, if I don't have kind of a class for this, or if I don't have some sort of structure to kind of learn this through, some sort of kind of helping guide, it's going to be impossible for me to make heads or tails of this. And how do you guys feel about that, I guess, kind of like this over-academicization of philosophy, or an over-reliance on kind of prior knowledge, or of kind of some structured learning, or on just... Yeah, I mean, this is a problem with mine in academia in general, I guess, but this kind of use of jargon and intense... specified knowledge that makes it in some sense inaccessible to the wider population who might be interested in the core ideas.
Yeah, Wittgenstein is one of those, I guess, one of those people that wrote in a sort of very cryptic, aphoristic way.
Yeah.
So you really have to have, I mean, when I read it, I had to have someone else tell me, like, where the hell his context is coming from. So tackling it yourself, I mean, or myself, by yourself, is always a difficult thing. And I guess that's not really a problem you would get in the English department as much. Would you say so?
But I mean, like, James Joyce. Going into, like, Ulysses, you know, with no...
Yeah, you need some sort of, like safety harness.
Yeah, or even, like, when I read Infinite Jest this past year, like, that was... Yeah. I'm dropping that.
But again, like, for Wittgenstein's Tractatus, Bertrand Russell has a dynamite preface for it.
And even though things like that. Said that he thought he got it wrong.
Okay, yeah, but still,
so it's just stuff like that, though. I mean, how do you guys approach this where philosophy can be so constrained within academia, but are the ideas then just kind of circulated among the elite or the academic elite?
I still feel like...
I mean, is there kind of, is there an avenue for pop philosophy? I mean, but maybe they're universal ideas, but I'm saying is the presentation, is the medium of philosophy constraining itself and kind of...
You see, I feel like you're equating philosophy with academic philosophy, because I feel like philosophy extends far beyond that.
Well, I agree
with
you.
Like, you get Dostoevsky, who wasn't a technical philosopher, but he was a philosopher.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm driving at, though.
Who wasn't a philosopher.
That aren't we all philosophers, though? And aren't these philosophic ideas, though, kind of universal ideas? So why is it that philosophy as an academic discipline sometimes feels the need, I guess, to kind of insulate itself or to kind of wrap itself up in these ideas that make it